I'm John, and tonight I want answers about filibustering and the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There's no stopping us now, because we're live.
I'm A.J. Minnick.
I'm John A. Vink.
I'm Keith Statenfield.
I'm Loretta Beavers.
I'm Jennifer Sim. And those stories tonight on John Wants Answers.
I'm A.J. Minnick.
I'm John A. Vink.
Uh-oh. I'm Keith Statenfield.
I'm Loretta Beaver.
I'm Jennifer Sim.
John wants answers. Give John answers now.
It's off to a great start.
Good start.
Yeah.
Check your calendar. If it says April 10th,
yeah,
that's the day today, right? Yep.
Great start. It's off to a great start, people. It's only up from here.
That's usually how we work, you know.
It is. Yeah.
A few technical problems.
Yeah.
And then we
glide into it. We started late tonight for a whole different reason.
Someone forgot their phone.
Someone left their phone in an Arby's.
Arby's, yeah.
Yeah.
It was still there.
It was behind the counter. They'd found it. And they were like, what color is it? I'm like, it's blue.
There's a guy named Gray Powell who's very famous for doing just that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a German bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't a unreleased phone you left behind, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just a generic phone.
My guest tonight needs no introduction. Tonight, our topics are Cory Booker,
yeah,
Wisconsin Supreme Court, and if we have time, we have more viewer mail.
We have more viewer mail.
Yeah. Now, last month, we did all viewer mail last month.
And we ran
out of time.
We still got more. Viewers won't stop with the email, no matter how much we ask them.
We haven't asked them. We know we want the emails.
We want the emails.
People to tell us
exactly what they think about this television show.
Tell us what you think of this show.
Yeah.
And ask us some questions.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll give you very thoughtful answers.
Okay.
Okay.
I look forward to next month's viewer mail again.
All right. Our first topic, Cory Booker. See, he's on cue.
We're doing great.
It's all up the hill from
Look
here.
In the upper corner, it was the start of the show.
It was?
Yeah.
I can't see anymore.
It'd be funny if you edited the show afterwards so that the backdrop was just clips from the show we were doing.
Like in real time?
No, you have to do it later. I mean, but yeah.
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 No, it's clips of last week's show, last month's show is in their background.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's our best shows.
Jim
Short is right there.
That's us.
Now he's dead.
Last month. That's us. Last month,
yeah,
I guess.
Month. And that's today's
and that's
date.
Like
right there.
Years ago, because look at your hair. It's still brown.
And then behind you is Steve
Wozniak's date. Yeah. And for some reason, a test pattern.
It's a European test pattern.
Okay.
Oh, and there's some drone footage.
Over there, that's you, also very young. With Andy and Waz
and
Daniel.
Daniel?
And...
I won an award for that show over there.
Wow.
That's an award-winning show.
Up here, it's The Matrix.
No, that's the Salesforce Tower.
Oh. You took a drone up by the Salesforce Tower?
I did.
Wow.
Watch
and
it.
You lived.
Why would I be dead? If anything, a drone would be...
Snipers.
Snipers.
Yeah.
But they don't know who's running it.
I think they can figure it out.
I don't think they can. It's up to the very top.
That was a very good drone. How long does your drone battery last?
Like 35 minutes.
Wow. Mine only does 16 minutes.
16?
Yeah.
You can need a new one.
And then it's... No, that's when it started. It was 16 minutes. That's how much it can do.
You need a new drone, I'm saying.
I suppose so. I don't use the drone I have. So I don't need a new drone. But I might get a new drone. Because...
New ones are better. So maybe you'll like the new ones.
New ones are better. Yeah.
You'll use it all the time if you had a new one.
That's true.
Anyways, we're getting off topic from Cory Booker.
Yeah.
Cory Booker is a senator.
Senator
from
Booker.
New Jersey. And he was here 1 year ago in this very room. He was here.
Yeah.
He's in that corner there. They did a live CNN feed from here.
Cool.
Yeah. And so he spoke for 25 hours in the Senate.
Yeah.
Now, was this a filibuster?
Technically, no.
Okay, so how is this not a filibuster?
Well, I mean, you think of it as a filibuster as preventing something from moving forward.
Right.
And there was nothing on the floor of the Senate.
Okay.
So he wasn't preventing something from moving forward. Now, in some vague sense, as long as he's talking on the floor of the Senate, mm-hmm. no one else can stand up and start anything. So, you know, he's stopping something else from happening, but that's right. But no one had anything else to happen.
Is there time for any senator just to stand on the Senate floor and just start talking about anything?
If you're recognized by the chair, you get to talk.
There How did he get recognition from the chair?
He stood up and said, I would like some time to speak. And the person sitting up front said, the senator from New Jersey is recognized.
Did the chair know what was going to happen?
He had telegraphed that it was going to happen, so yes. But
so the chair was in on it, and I guess...
I don't think the chair was in on it, because the chair is presumably a Republican.
Right.
And Cory Booker is a Democrat.
Right.
But the chair also... I mean, there was no one else who wanted time.
Okay.
And if a senator says, I would like time, it's the duty of the chair to recognize people that would like time in some order. Now, there are times that they limit debate on things. Mm-hmm. This was not one of those times, which is why he could then go on and speak for 25 hours.
Did all the senators have to stay around and watch him?
No one had to stay around.
And presumably no one did stay for the entire time, did they?
I don't know that anyone stayed for the entire time.
Does the chair have to stay there?
The chair can swap out, but someone had to be in front.
So some person in the position of the chair had to be there, but not the same person.
Correct.
Okay. And so he decided just to talk for 25 hours and...
Bring a bunch of things that were important to him. I mean, he got a huge amount of press.
Right.
And a lot of accolades. It was a great, you know, it was viewed as a good move, good thing he did by a lot of people.
And he broke the record.
He broke, the last record from Strom Thurmond, who spoke for 24-something hours.
And he went down in history as a bad person, right?
I'm not a big fan of Strom Thurmond. He was a...
Like the time
originally a Dixiecrat segregationist Democrat who switched to the Republican Party and continued to not be a good person for the rest of his life.
So the 24 hours he was talking was to block
Civil rights law that was being considered. I don't recall which one.
And now a black man, Cory Booker being
Cory
black.
Cory Booker, yes.
He was able to speak and break the record. So
I guess
Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, take that.
Take that. Now, if he was actually filibustering, he could just have said, I filibuster, and not have spoken for more than that, right?
There are a lot of... I mean, nominally, no. If he is not actually speaking, someone else can stand up and make a motion. But in practice, the operation of the Senate for the last 50 plus years has been, if a senator says, I intend to filibuster this motion, they just don't bring it to the floor and make that senator talk. Just that little, I intend to do this, has been enough that the people who run the Senate have respected that most of the time.
Most of the time?
Are
there exceptions?
I'm sure there have been some exceptions, yes.
Oh.
I mean, they don't always get publicized, so we don't know if someone had sent a note in, I intend to filibuster this, and the leader said, well, we're bringing it up anyway, so be prepared to start talking. And then if they don't start talking, was their filibuster attempt denied, or was it that, you know, the little I intend to do this, just
why
you got to follow through.
Make it so easy to filibuster, like in just saying you have to intend to without actually putting in the work?
Because they're the Senate and they're stodgy and set in their ways, and...
I mean, there had to be a day when they decided to change it, so you have to do is say you intend to.
Yes, there has to be a... I mean, at the beginning of every session, they set the rules.
Right.
And, I mean, the filibuster is an accident, really? Like, no one ever said we should have a rule that lets people talk forever.
Right.
They started up Congress, and they'd been running for about 10 years. And the Senate said, we've just kind of been operating according to this hodgepodge set of rules. We should streamline the rules so that we all can understand them. And Aaron Burr was, I believe, vice president at the time.
He was
the
Hamilton.
That guy. Yeah, he's the guy that shot Hamilton. and I believe he took the lead because he was, you know, the vice president used to be the lead, used to be the leader of the Senate. Mm-hmm. And since the vice president was often a different party than the president, it was more, there was a reason they did it that way. It didn't work, but there was a reason they thought it would work. And he was going through the rules of the Senate, and there was a rule that said, hey, after a while, someone can say, I call the question. Like, I think we should vote on this now. I think we talked about it enough. And he said, we never do this. We should get rid of this rule, because we never do it. It's just dumb.
Okay.
So that was one of the rules that got crossed out. And then 20 or 30 years went by, and then some senator was like, you know, there's no rule that says I have to stop talking and let someone else stand up and make a motion. So if I want to keep something from happening, my side just has to keep talking, and then it'll never happen. And it didn't get used very often through the 1800s, but it did get used more than a lot of people would like. And eventually, like in the 1920s or 10s or whenever, you know, early in the last century, they said, okay, we can't just let this, we're going to keep talking, happen. So we're going to come up with a rule. If 2/3 of the chamber says we should just vote on this, then we're going to vote on it.
Okay.
Even if the guy in front still has the floor and is talking. And it was 2/3 of the Senate for a long time, and then they lowered it to 3/5 of the Senate. So now it's 60 senators, if all 100 people are in office, are needed to break a filibuster.
Okay.
And some things aren't filibusterable. Like, you can't filibuster the annual budget resolution.
Oh.
And you can't filibuster judicial... you can't filibuster Supreme Court justice appointments. And I don't think you can filibuster cabinet positions either, but I might...
So the filibuster is only used by the minority side, right?
I'm sure you could find times the majority side have used it.
I mean but they control...
Longer ago, we didn't have quite as bright of a division between one side and the other side.
Oh, okay.
You know, we... for a long time, there were civil rights Democrats and civil rights Republicans. And there were anti-civil right Democrats and anti-civil right Republicans. And so you could say the Democrats might have had a majority, but if the anti-civil rights Democrats didn't want something to pass, they would be filibustering it, even though in theory they're the majority party.
Right. So when they have a new Congress... Mm-hmm. Every 2 years.
Yes.
And they established the rules.
Yes.
Why would the ruling party kind of just get rid of the filibuster?
I mean, mostly tradition, and they do like it that... I mean, the filibuster lets every senator say, if there's something that I really don't want to happen, I can make sure it doesn't happen. So when... Democrats had 60 votes in the Senate, and they said, you know, and there was the question, where are we going to put all this nuclear waste? Mm-hmm. The senator from Nevada, who was a Democrat, could stand up and say, I don't support putting it in Nevada. There's no way I'm going to let this bill come to the floor, and they could filibuster it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it gives every senator a significant amount of power to keep things from quickly getting pushed through, and often to keep them from happening at all. Which is why we should get rid of the filibuster. It is, there's no reason, I mean.
Well, it's good if we're the party in minority to stop evil things from happening. then when we're in the majority, you also can't push
things. Theory is a majority ought to be able to take action. Either everything should require it's crazy that you could do something with a majority, but you need a supermajority to agree to vote on whether to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, legislation still just needs, you know, half the chamber plus one to pass, but it needs 3/5 of the chamber to get voted on.
Right.
So what's the rationale for that? Rationale is we've done it this way for a long time, and it makes senators who like to think of themselves as important happy. Mm-hmm. But it's probably a bad thing overall for the country.
Is it going to keep happening, you think?
It's going to keep happening. It's probably going to keep happening for a while, but someday they will get rid of the filibuster because they will want something to pass, and someone will filibuster it, and they won't be able to get 60 votes, and someone will say, "We got to get rid of this."
Yeah.
I mean, they've
thought about the nuclear option, right? Where they decide to put a vote anyways, and then someone says, "You can't do that," and they vote saying, "Yeah, we can do that."
Yes. One of the definitions of the nuclear option is a senator is filibustering. Someone says, "Hey, I think we should vote on this." Mm-hmm. The senator says, "I'm filibustering."
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn to the parliamentarian and they ask the parliamentarian, "What do the rules say? Can we do this or not?"
Uh-huh.
And the parliamentarian looks at the rules. They don't, because they know the rules. They go, "No, the rules say you need a 2/3 majority." And then someone says, "I appeal the decision of the parliamentarian."
Okay.
And then they need a majority plus one to override the parliamentarian.
Oh, okay.
So a majority could override the parliamentarians. Now, once you've done that, you can't go back to be like, "Oh, yeah, the filibuster is going to be the same tomorrow." I mean, Democrats, you know, you used to be able to filibuster judicial appointments, and Democrats said, "We're not getting any of our, you know, we can't get people on the Supreme Court. They just won't let us vote on them."
Mm-hmm.
So from now on, since the Constitution says it's our job to vote on this, you can't filibuster that.
Okay.
We have to have a process.
Wait, didn't they filibuster Obama's most recent pick for
They didn't filibuster him.
What'd
McConnell
they do?
Just declined to bring it up for a vote. And they had a majority in the chamber at the time.
Oh. Great.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a Senate in recent memory that had a filibuster-proof majority?
Before Ted Kennedy passed away, I think 2009, there were 60 Democratic senators and 40 Republican senators.
Oh, wow.
Which is why they thought they'd be able to get Obamacare through, and then Kennedy died of a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And then Brown got elected, and they no longer had 60 votes, and they had to do a lot of compromising to get anything to pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, our next topic, Wisconsin Supreme Court. So if you looked in our background, we're at the Wisconsin Supreme Court building today.
No, not really.
Are we in Madison?
That is a picture of Madison, yes, but that's not the Supreme Court building.
Well, according to Photoshop AI, it is.
Well, that's the state capitol.
Oh.
Supreme Court has a room in that building.
Oh, there you go.
And they might have offices in that building. I don't know where their offices are. But, like, the governor's office is in that building, and a bunch of legislature's offices are in that building, and the legislative chambers are in that building. There's a lot of stuff in that building.
Are you from Madison?
I lived in Madison when I was in college.
Oh.
Because I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm not from Madison.
Racine.
Which is about 90 minutes away from there.
Madison's not the biggest city in Wisconsin, is it? Is that Milwaukee?
I believe Milwaukee's bigger. I mean, I'm sure Milwaukee's bigger than Madison.
Okay.
Madison's the second biggest.
It's weird whenever, like, a city that's not the biggest is capital. It makes it hard for kids in geography class to memorize capitals.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's tiny.
Like Sacramento.
In Illinois, it's Springfield, which is, like, nothing.
That's where Simpsons are from, aren't they?
Yes, but there are a lot of Springfields in this country.
So they had an election for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes.
And why did it have such widespread national attention?
I mean, two reasons. First of all, it's one of the first elections after Trump took office.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court in Wisconsin currently has a they're elected members. Mm-hmm. Nominally, I don't recall if they're nonpartisan or not. I mean, they're supposed to rule nonpartisanly.
Right.
But there was a very contentious election 2 years ago when the court was tilted in favor of the Republicans, 4-3. Mm-hmm. And the Republican who was running got beaten by the Democrat that was running. Hmm. And the new, and there were a couple reasons at the time for that. One of the big issues that they were dealing with was Wisconsin has a law against abortion that dates back to like 1862 or something. It was never repealed.
Okay.
But, you know, it had been ruled, this is a law, you know, the Constitution, federal Constitution and other things have said we can't enforce this law anymore.
Right.
And then Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court.
Right.
And Wisconsin, which has a very Republican legislature, which I'll come back to the reason for that, and a Democratic governor who also got elected, I think, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a concern that they would start enforcing this ancient law in Wisconsin.
Right.
And so at the time, abortion was a big issue. You know, we need, you know, the court should not revive a 150-year-old law that barely applied, you know, that barely applied to what we consider abortion today. But the right to life folks have tried to say this law was passed. Abortion should be entirely illegal in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. After they elected, 4 years ago, or 2 years, I think it was 4 years ago, another thing the state court said is Republicans have gerrymandered the heck out of Wisconsin. Mm. In most elections, Wisconsin is almost 50-50 Democrats, Republicans, but the Republicans hold a supermajority in both houses of the legislature because they have just divvied up areas so that the Democrats, who tend to cluster in the southern part of the state and the bigger cities, mm-hmm. got stuffed into small districts that were super Democratic, and that left a bunch of other districts. So, you know, in spite of, 4 or 5 years ago when Biden won the state, like 51-49, the congressional delegation was still like 9 Republicans and 2 Democrats.
Wow.
And the state legislature, both houses, had 2/3 majorities of Republicans because of the way they've drawn the districts. And Wisconsin's constitution has things that say districts are supposed to be compact and they're supposed to be fair to the people of Wisconsin so that we can elect good. And the Supreme Court, after the election last time, went through and said, yeah, we have to fix this. Mm-hmm. And they undid a bunch of state districts and said, you got to redraw these, you got to do good jobs, multiple things or something. The legislature is more equal now.
Okay.
The federal people in Congress don't change until the next census, which is still 5 or 6 years away.
Oh, okay.
So now, come this election, there again is a, the Democrat and a Republican. Mm-hmm. And the Republican is fairly aligned with President Trump, and the Democrat is not aligned with President Trump. Uh-huh. And so it was going to be a contentious election, and then Elon Musk decided that this was the election on which the future of humanity swung and started spending a lot of money in the state. A lot of other sides spent a lot of money in the state. And so there were just huge resources. I mean, I have friends in Wisconsin that tell me, you know, in the 3 weeks before the election, they would get three or four people knocking on their door every day.
Wow.
Asking if they, you know, do you plan to vote? Who do you plan to vote for? Can I give you some information? And, you know, text messages to everyone that had ever donated anything to anybody.
Right.
An awful lot of work to get either of these two candidates elected. And it turned out the Susan Crawford won. She was 10 points over her opponent.
Uh-huh. That's pretty
good. Which is pretty, a pretty big margin.
Mm-hmm. You know, and she was outspent, I imagine?
I believe she was outspent, although, I mean, both sides spent huge amounts of money.
Right.
And I mean, not even both sides, right? Most of the money was spent by outside political action committees.
Right.
And you can say those committees are aligned with one side or the other, but they don't have to say. They're just like, we're spending money on this election.
Why did Elon Musk say that the future of humanity depends on this one election?
I have no idea, because he thought it was important.
Okay. Are Supreme Court judges in California elected? Because I don't remember...
I think they are.
I don't remember having a big deal election like that in California.
I believe they are. I mean, I know they can be recalled, because Rose Byrd was famously unelected to the Supreme Court, but
really?
I think she was appointed by Governor Brown to fill a vacancy. But I do think the Supreme Court members are elected. Now, I think they have terms.
Oh, they do?
There.
Okay.
Unlike the
Well, that means we would have
Court.
Elected them every 4 years or so, right?
Well,
and I remember ever seeing it on the ballot.
Years. Let's see. I was looking this up beforehand.
Are all the California Supreme Court judges like aligned Democrat, basically?
I don't actually know the answer to that. I mean, probably.
Right.
I think they're appointed by the governor, and then I think we have to elect them. I think we have to vote to keep them in office.
Oh. All right. We should look into that.
And I think you could, yeah. That's how I think it works.
Okay. Well, we only have a minute and a half left, which means we have time for viewer mail. We have this question. How does a bidet work? So, I was in Europe. I was in Italy.
Yes.
And I went to some fancy hotels.
Yeah.
And they all had things that I think are bidets.
Okay.
We have pictures. Can we see the picture of the bidet?
Yeah.
So the thing out there on the left is a bidet.
Yeah.
Which looks like a sink.
It's a low,
but
it looks
low,
like a low sink with a drain.
With a drain. And I have another one too, another picture. Same thing, and this one on the right.
Yeah.
How do they work? Like what?
You squat, and you turn the water on, then you splash the water on the stuff you want cleaner.
It sounds like water would be going everywhere.
Well, you're careful.
And it's like a sink. Like
you didn't try it?
No, I didn't try it because it looked too confusing.
You should.
How does it work?
Just come to my house. I have a bidet. You're allowed to use it. No, mine's like it's got a remote control.
Yeah.
Like you push the button and the thing slides out and it sprays the water and you can control the temperature, and then when it's done it blows warm air on your bits to dry you off.
That sink looked weird. Like I'd see all my bits coming off and flowing to the sink.
No, that's not how bits work.
No?
No. No, look.
See, it's just like
Like you shower, I'm going to assume, most days.
Yeah.
Your bits don't come off then. Why would you think just because you were...
Well, because I just pooped, and so I haven't wiped, and I use this little sink.
Well, there's toilet paper right there. You're supposed to wipe first.
Oh, really? Then what happened bidet? We're just going to...
First of all, ladies have a different...
They wash different parts?
...thing than us in some ways. So it's... And yes, you can, you got soap. You can wash the bits.